from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Perloff won't stop bragging about how he won his Caitlin Clark bet last night. Congratulations to you.
Yeah, and I'm also kind of moving in on an important stat for Caitlin Clark.
What do you got?
I said she'd average 20 points a game in her rookie season, and EJ Stewart, our executive producer, told me I was crazy. No, he didn't say I was crazy. He said it's really hard to score as a rookie in the WNBA. That turns out to be true because she's breaking every record, scoring 18.7 points
a game. EJ was right about that. But the rookies have had trouble until this season.
But her stats since the Olympic break are crazy. I mean, if she'd played this way all season, it would be an all-time season. So it's really impressive what she's doing right now.
The fact that the Fever are definitely a playoff team, I mean, that's a major goal that and a box that gets ticked off. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They're in a 5-game winning streak. They're playing fast. And this has just been a really fun post-Olympic break. This has been really fun to watch with the Fever.
Absolutely. It's sort of, if she had done this in the beginning of the season, if the team had done this in the beginning of the season, I mean, they would be the number one story in sports. Even with the NFL coming on, it would be just incredible. Feels like Iowa a little bit, right?
It's getting a little bit of that vibe. You're right about
that.
And the playoffs, I think, are going to be huge.
That is maybe too far because Iowa made the title game two years in a row. But we're starting to get some of that energy around Caitlin Clark and the Fever.
So here, this was interesting. Charles Barkley was on Bill Simmons' podcast earlier this week. And the conversation turned to Caitlin Clark and her rookie season. And let's hear Charles. Let's cut one, Ryan, about how Charles believes that the WNBA players just really botched this first season with Caitlin.
These ladies, and I'm a WNBA fan, they cannot have this Caitlin Clark thing up any worse if they try. People believe what we say on television. Just because people don't like you or your personality, they can't get on TV and slander you.
Okay, so this is he's talking about the players and the media there. More from Barkley saying the WNBA players, they're just jealous of Caitlin Clark.
This girl is incredible. The number of attention, eyeballs, she's brought to college and the pros, and for these women to have this petty jealousness, you say to yourself, damn, what is going on here?
More from Barkley says that he likes that Caitlin doesn't respond to any of her critics.
Thing I love about her, she never says a word. But these ladies who I love and respect their game, they couldn't have f***ed this thing up any worse. There's been so much negativity, and a lot of it is just petty jealousness.
Yeah. Okay, so that was Barkley's assessment. Do you agree with him?
No, I don't totally agree with him. I think that anytime anyone shoves Caitlin Clark, it becomes front page news, right? I bet you LeBron came into the NBA and people were shoving him all the time. We just didn't have the social media back then. I think this is a closer than what Charles is saying to, maybe I'm totally wrong, normal rookie hazing. And I don't think that everyone's come out in the press. Basically, if you come out and say something just slightly negative about Caitlin, it blows up into this giant story. I think that just the sort of intensity of the spotlight on her makes this all seem bigger than it is. I'm not sure that at the end of the day, like, I'm not sure that they've really been after her the way Charles is painting it. Maybe I'm totally wrong about this. I don't feel like it's been this hate fest necessarily.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
What are the quotes he's talking about? Like, who's really, really torn her apart?
Well, I don't think people have torn her apart. I thought that Diana Taurasi's comments got taken a little bit too far. She said it's going to be a tough learning curve. And Guess what? It was.
Right.
And now she's playing great. That was more not like a warning, like, oh my gosh, you better look out. It was more like, this is how it's probably going to go. And now that we're seeing, you know, it is hard for rookies to get their foothold in this league. So I think Diana was just talking from experience there, not because she was trying to disparage Caitlin at all. This is my thing about Barkley. It's such a funny way that he put it. Like, they couldn't have bleeped this up worse if they tried, blah, blah. I feel like this is a little pot calling the kettle black on this thing. You're telling me that the NBA players don't have petty jealousies of any other guys who come into the league and either get a lot of attention, start making a lot of money, you know, and feel a certain type of way. I think that the veterans in the NBA look at the guys who are making $60 million a year, now $70 million, and thinking, where's my, I'm not getting enough respect that I helped build this league. And now you're the one who gets to enjoy all the fruits of the labor of me flying commercial and me trying to fight for eyeballs and me having games that were on tape delay back when Magic and Larry first came into the league or stuff like that. And now, like, sort of respect what came before you. Caitlin is very respectful, by the way. It's not about that. I just think, you know, Barkley really can't understand. He doesn't understand why some of the veterans in the WNBA might be a little jealous of all the attention Caitlin's getting. The NBA players are like this. The feud between the old head NBA players and the new school guys bleeds into their TV show every night. So it's not just a woman thing, you know, and Charles isn't saying that, but I don't want to be painted like, oh, these women, they're the ones who are being petty and jealous. The men are petty and jealous too.
Yeah, but nobody cares. Like, no, I mean,
I think they do. I think Kevin Durant cares when he gets called out by Charles Barkley and Shaq and all those guys. They don't have great
relationships. But this is, you're talking about, it's funny, you're talking about tape delay and commercial.
Yeah.
That's the guys who are retired.
Right.
Like, now they have an NBA, they have a salary cap for the young guys. So I don't think that energy is going on. Like, basically, that's what I'm saying. Like, Jalen Green probably got pushed around as a rookie and nobody cares. There's this thing about Caitlin. It's just, I don't agree that that's the same dynamic. Like, I do think, the thing with Caitlin is just, it's more.
Yeah,
everything is more.
It's always more. It's women. There's a racial component to it. There's a lot of stuff.
You have the sexist comments from the male press. You have the racial undertones of everything when we're talking about her. So I think there is more. But that being said, I think it's worked out great for the WNBA. I think it's good to have controversy. It gets more eyeballs. It definitely doesn't hurt the WNBA to have players who are jealous of her. That kind of drama fuels ratings. I mean, it's great.
I guess so Charles Barkley was critical, saying that WNBA players and media couldn't have messed this up worse if they tried with Caitlin Clark's rookie season. I guess here would be the other thing. What's the alternative? Like, I thought she should have been on the Olympic team. Turns out it was the best thing probably for her to have a bit of a break and get to be able to recharge and everything. Like, I thought she should have been on the Olympic team. But besides that, how else were they supposed to act? Okay, you don't want the hard fouls and stuff like that. But again, it is kind of part of the game. Caitlin's not the only player out there who's getting hard fouls, maybe feels a little intentional. Are they supposed to roll out the red carpet for her to average 25 points a game? Are they supposed to take it easy on her? Like, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe, okay, the Cheryl Swoop stuff got a little weird about, you know, kind of trying to undercut some of her achievements or maybe not, like, mentioning her name. I guess that got weird. All right, that got weird. That's one person it got weird, right?
Well, I wonder if Charles is talking to other people, too. You know, he probably has other friends who are WNBA legends who are like, this is crap. I mean, that might be what's going on, but one thing about them messing up, I mean, they clearly have not messed this up. Like, it's been
the ratings are through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, this is working out well. Right? I mean, it couldn't really even work out that much better.
EJ, you're a big WNBA fan. Do you agree with Barkley that they couldn't have messed this up worse?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I mean, I think everything that was supposed to happen has happened. And now this has been turned into one of the best sports stories. Forget about WNBA stories. Caitlin came in. There was a lot of controversy, a lot of hoopla. She got beat up a little bit. But guess what? It's basketball. It's competitiveness. Like, Charles Barkley played in the 80s. The notion that somehow that was pettiness when they weren't clotheslining guys. He wasn't punching Bill Laimbeer in the 80s. I mean, I don't really understand that. And she took the break. Now she's playing awesome. The ratings are through the roof. I just feel this felt like conjuring up old feelings to me. Like, I felt like we had kind of moved outside of what's happened with Cheryl Swoops. I feel like most of the public kind of moved past any resentment for Caitlin Clark. So I felt like this was kind of like maybe Charles kind of taking somewhat of a victory lap to be like, see, look how great she is. And now if you guys wouldn't have been so mean to her, you know, maybe things would have been better initially. She just needs to go through that initial rough patch. Like, that was just going to happen. That's basketball. And Charles should know that better than anybody. So I don't necessarily agree with that. I just hate how, to me, the defense of Caitlin Clark becomes so anti-competitiveness. It's just right. Always this, well, it should have been nicer. Why didn't you say this about her or that? She's a basketball player. And, you know, she's cut from the Kobe Bryant Mamba mentality cloth. Like, I don't think she wants it like that. Like, why do we reduce her to this coddling constantly? I don't get it.
Forget all that. Do you think there's a generation of players, Cheryl Swoops, who is out there behind the scenes talking trash about Caitlin Clark? Do you think that resentment is real?
Listen, I think there's always going to be a little tension between the previous generation and the current one. And I think there's this idea that Caitlin invented the WNBA by some people because she's gotten a lot of casual fans. The thing is that the WNBA was ready for a star like this too, right? No, I mean, you need to put in 20 years and they have the infrastructure and they have the, you know, like they have a lot of room to grow, which is great.
The ratings have been growing for years. And I know people want to.
It's been a star.
You're saying the ratings would be the same without Caitlin this year?
That's not what I said, bro.
Honestly, I think college basketball is like grown even faster. I don't even think it's the WNBA. I think college women's basketball has gotten fire lately too, even before Caitlin.
I think that there was like this steady kind of increase, and we can talk about it, whether it's the product getting better, which, by the way, the product's just better too. Like, you're watching women's college basketball and it's looking a little bit more like the men's side, right? They're playing fast, the three-pointers, all that stuff. So it's a watchable product because the sport is evolving. And then on top of that, the betting is also a big part. You won your bet last night. I lost my bet last night.
Yep.
A little column A, a little column B. And it's been a little steady. And then Caitlin was a catalyst that definitely put the chart and the graph like up and to the right.
Right. There's no steadiness about that spike. Like, it wasn't steady. It wasn't steady growth. Like, that's not this different.
Before
it was going up by 2%, 2%, 2%. Right. Then it went up 200%.
Exactly.
So you can't say that the steady growth of the WNBA led to this. But that doesn't make any sense.
No. I think what I was saying is that it's not like it was cratering and tanking and the league was on the verge of bankruptcy. But, and then all of a sudden here comes Caitlin and now they're a blue chip stock that's through the roof.
I think that's kind of what happened.
No, I don't think they were on the verge of bankruptcy. I'm just saying it was on the verge of going away. She just increased their value.
I'm just saying it was a medium, and then it became elite, right? That's just what happened. You can't say if Caitlin wasn't here this year, if she'd gone back to Iowa, which I think she was allowed to do because of the COVID year, then there'd be no WNBA spike in ratings. Can we agree on that?
Absolutely. Of course. But I guess like what you're talking about, the tension between the old generation and the new, I think it's like the idea that Caitlin invented, that WNBA didn't exist until she stepped on the court. And I think people resent that. And to be honest, I think the NBA players also resent the fact at times that guys who are mid and who have done nothing are making $70 million a year when they had to fly commercial and they weren't making as much. You know, I just think that's normal.
I do too. And the only thing I would say too is like, I think just because the growth before Caitlin was slower does not mean that it was not significant. Like, to me, this was not Magic Johnson and Larry Bird saving the NBA from being on tape delay. Like, this was not that. Like, there was...
It's Michael Jordan making the ratings go through the roof.
Sure.
That's fine.
Nobody's calling Magic and Larry. Everyone's... I mean, that comparison doesn't make any sense.
Well, Angel got that comparison a lot.
But it's not. I think the drugs and the TV and all that stuff that was going on in the 70s, like that is not, everyone's like, wow, the WNBA was. I don't think that's what people are saying. I think they're saying that she is. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think she said she's taking this league to a whole new level. Like Jordan was a huge deal for the NBA ratings, and I feel like Tiger was a big deal for the golf ratings. To me, that's the best analogy. Like she's Tiger.
That's more fair. I think that's more fair. I just think there's a notion, though, that the WNBA was a struggling league and that there was zero interest. And we had just seen for years that that was not the case in the recent years, that since the wobble, that there had been an increase in interest. And I think there's an increase overall in women's sports. Absolutely. Caitlin is a rock star and she is coming and taking it through the roof. But I do think that when we talk about if there's resentment, is there a thing? When we say, well, she came in and just saved the league or the league was irrelevant until she showed up, people who live and die with the league, they're going to feel a way about that. And that's understandable. I just think Charles Barkley resorting that to saying, well, this is pettiness and that you should get over it, or that her just having to go through a tough rookie rough patch, that it was something beyond that, I think is unfair. I think it's unfair to the situation. I think it's unfair to reality.
Well, and the also
it's reality that there's going to be resentment when you say this savior is coming out of nowhere and your league was irrelevant before that.
I just also like, did the pettiness, is it hurting the NBA? You know,
no.
It doesn't feel like it is. There was pettiness of keeping Isaiah off the Olympic team. There was pettiness of, you know, freezing out Michael Jordan in an all-star game. There was those pettiness that now becomes part of the lore of the NBA. And I don't see it as a negative. Charles did. Charles said that you couldn't have bleeped this up worse if you tried. It was a funny way he put it. He's like, we could have put a bunch of men in a room. How do you hurt the WNBA and we would have never come up with something like this? I mean, he really feels strongly that this has been like a disaster of how they've treated Caitlin Clark. I just don't see it this way. Yeah, Pat.
I totally disagree. I mean, think about how much more we're talking about Caitlin Clark and the WNBA this year because of the Kennedy Carter stuff early on, mm-hmm. and because of all the, you know, the Diana Taurasi comments, and anytime she gets shoved, it's only bringing more attention to the sport. Sure, it might be wrapped in pettiness and drama, but let's be honest.
We
love it. That's why reality TV exists. So it makes it more interesting. So I think Chuck is totally, totally wrong. It kind of sounds like a moron with these comments.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. Listen, maybe we're not leaving enough room for the other side of this. Would this have been better if, you know, she comes in and she gets one collective hug from everybody? And they say thank you. See, I think people like rivalries. I think they like it when it feels like it gets a little angsty, a little tension.
It would have been boring, and it would have. I don't think there would have been a basically. And I know they had the month break for the Olympics and everything, but there wouldn't have been a season long interest. It would have been all right. Caitlin Clark, yeah, she is doing well at the WNBA. All right, cool. We'll watch in October when the playoffs are here.
Right. 855-212-4227. So that's a little what's going on the WNBA side of things. Charles Barkley, critical of all the women in the league and broadcasters who are critical of her. Okay. Football. Thank you, Pat. Tell everybody what you just said in my ear.
Commander story.
Yep. I forgot for 5 seconds about my new obsession. And by the way, anyone who's ever gone on an online date, like met somebody online and then met them for a drink, you should be interested in this story too. A lot of layers.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai's bold family of EVs that bring a new kind of energy to your journey. The IONIQ 5 and 5N, IONIQ 6 and Kona Electric, the most electric EV lineup. All right. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Are you laughing at my pronunciation there? What's going on, Bogus?
Yes.
Why, I got it. IONIQ. It's on the sheet.
IONIQ.
Ah, darn it. Remember, I used to, I don't know if it was this show, biopic. I always said it was a biopic and not a biopic, and people would kill me for that. But then there's a school of people who call it a biopic.
A biopic sounds like something you're getting scanned at the doctor.
Right.
A biopic sounds like, let's look at a story about Bob Marley's life.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. It does sound like something at that.
But wait a minute. I had to get a biopic done.
It's not biopic?
No, it's a biopic.
There's 40% of the people who call it biopic.
Not 40.
I'm not kidding.
It's you, Bill Ryder, and Pat Boyle.
No, I talked about this topic for a decade. It's really like number 3 on the list of Perloff things.
Oh,
biopic.
This is your dinner parties?
Yeah, like
conversation. I got a new topic for you for a dinner party, but can we put that out as a poll? Do you pronounce it biopic? Or biopic? You don't think a biopic sounds like a scan you'd get in your prostate?
It sounds like you're thinking you need glasses for. Oh, I'm biopic. You're my
why
glasses.
Why is it myopic?
Because
it's
different words. Biopic is like biographical picture.
Ooh, I'm Bogus. I've mastered the English language. Sick, dude.
Proudly this morning. Yeah.
Bogus, can I say one thing? Biopic is a little clunky to say. Like, oh, there's a new biopic out. It's funner to say there's a new biopic out.
I agree.
Save a syllable.
That's a Dartmouth education. I trust that.
Be careful.
Wait, we got it. All right.
That's
so we've been teasing this so much. You got to share.
Zerloff versus Perloff.
Honestly, you should think about changing to Zerloff. It does sound like Zoloft, and that makes people happy, like clinically.
Wait, what?
the caller called you Zerloff.
Oh, is that what he said?
I could not. You
said to me Zerloff afterwards. I couldn't hear what he was saying.
Yeah, I said, I agree with you, Zerloff, and then said it a couple different times. And I kind of feel like we should workshop that. Because you're right, it's close to Zoloft, and Zoloft is an antidepressant. People would like associate with you with smiles.
Botch your play again.
I agree with you 100%, Zerloff.
Zerloff. You should be, you and Greg Zerline should be buddies.
Love it.
Pearl the leg.
Zerloff. It does sound like something where the side effects are a laundry list of things that would give you everything from migraines to violent diarrhea.
And things it's supposed to cure are still somehow a side effect. No, that means it's not working.
Yeah, it's an antidepressant that also gives you suicidal thoughts. It's like, that seems diametrically opposite. Anyway.
There's, by the way, about 50 Reddit threads on biopic versus biopic. This is like basically half the internet is dedicated to this topic.
Oh, is this the blue dress?
Oh, my God. There are people who get so mad when you rhyme myopic and biopic.
Well, you're not going to have to use this for your dinner party anymore conversation because I got a new topic for you. And this is a story that I become obsessed with. Everyone around here knows it because I won't shut up about it. And it's the Washington Commanders, this vice president of content. So basically guys doing a lot of their social media. And he went on an internet date with a woman. And they met on Hinge. Turns out that the woman was recording the entire date. And she's asking him very pointed questions about his job working for the NFL. And he, Perloff, was giving rather candid answers. So some of the things that she asked were, how do NFL players feel about, you know, LGBTQ and the gay community? And he said that a lot of the players are homophobic, whether that's because some are very religious or for other reasons, kind of growing up in maybe a macho kind of culture. He said that. She asked about fans of the NFL. He said that most are high school educated alcoholics. She asked if they're low class. He said, I never like to use that term. Instead, I'll call them mouth breathers. And then he kind of laughs and he's trying to be cute about that. He said the league's social justice initiatives that happened after George Floyd are all just window dressing. And he said that Roger Goodell is a figurehead.
That's crazy. You're telling me that when they wear pink socks, they're not really obsessed with women's causes?
Yeah. Racism in the end zone is going to be part of the solution here.
Yeah, they didn't even need to include that part in the story, by the way. The mouth breather is interesting. The social justice thing, even Goodell would admit that's crap.
Well, I mean, listen, you want to try to be... This is the part of the story that I'm obsessed with. The guy got in trouble, so he's suspended now because he said these things in what he believed was a private conversation that he was having on a date. Now, listen, he didn't say, whatever you think about what he said, and whether you think that there was like a tinge of racism to it or what have you, I'm not trying to dismiss how people think about this. I'm just asking, do we want to live in a society where you get videotaped on a date, unbeknownst to you? You're in a social situation. He's not on a panel talking about NFL issues here as a member of the Washington Commanders. He's having what he thinks is a private conversation. This woman oopsie doops him and puts it out there in the public. Should he get in trouble for this? To me, I find it very like alarming, and I find it very odd and weird that he would now be in trouble. Like, if he tries to get another job in public relations or something, I bet he's going to have a hard time because a private conversation got aired here. Is that not discerning or disconcerting to anyone else?
What does the NFL care about the process? I mean, it's out there. They are generally famous for doing this. Like, they don't need to protect this guy. He's a slight risk to the bottom line, sure, to suspend him. So the NFL kind of acts like this. They don't care about fairness. And I kind of understand, if you're a corporation, that fairness really is not a consideration. I understand it's unfair how it happened to him, but I think if you're the team or the league, you can't factor that in at all.
I guess, I mean, listen, he didn't get fired, so it's not like he's losing yet, right? Do they quietly get rid of him? And then he might have a lawsuit on and say, oh, by the way, he also said that as the state-run media, as he says, with running the Washington Commanders' social media and stuff, that actually was raw sewage that was raining down on the fans, on the paying customers. And he had to say that, no, it wasn't sewage. Now, that feels like an easy one to disprove. Does it smell like poop or does it not? This is not like brain surgery here. And I don't know. How do we feel about this in a society where a guy can get in trouble and he's having a private conversation where he didn't, you know, again, he didn't use a derogatory term. You know, it's not like he got caught Donald Sterling style, you know, saying something horrific about the people that he was working with.
Yeah, but I mean, this happens all the time in politics. That's, forget sports. Who cares about that? In politics, it's happening in real time where people are sharing each other's texts and their voicemails. And, like, honestly, it's happened to Donald Trump where he thought he did not know that he was going to, that it was going to come out publicly. Sure. So I just think that that's a world we live in.
But if you're a politician, are you under a different standard than the VP of communications at the Commanders? Like, this guy's not a public figure. He's not asking anyone to vote for him.
Yeah.
He's not using taxpayer dollars to support his lifestyle. Like, he doesn't owe anything to the public like a politician owes something to the public. We support politicians. We literally pay their salary.
That is true. But in this day and age, I mean, listen, sometimes my friends and I, for example, used to text crazy stuff to each other. I think we all have that, right? Now we do not text anything out to each other. Because
to your friends?
Like, yeah.
You're that worried?
Oh, yeah, because I've seen so many people who've gotten their text messages out there. I mean, why do you think Tom Brady destroyed his phone? Basically, we do not text. I do not write things that I would not say publicly anymore. Do you guys do? Like,
to
I,
your
I,
friends. Like,
yeah, to my
friend.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, because you're worried a friend's going to leak it, or you're worried there's going to be like a data leak and all of a sudden here's Perloff saying something out of context?
Friend could like share accidentally with somebody, like take a screenshot. Yeah. I mean, anything you put into your phone now is, I tell my kids this all the time. Yeah, of course. Because of the social media age, everyone knows anything on your phone is basically public.
See, I don't see that about text messages. I see it about like tweets and things you put on social media is obviously.
But I protect my texts really carefully now. There's been a few controversies over the last few years where private texts have gotten out. It happens in sports all the time.
Oh, listen, photos and things like that.
First of all, Kevin Durant's had like three of these. Honestly, like I think, you have to be super careful about your texts now.
It's also crazy to me that there are the number of states, including the one that we're in now, where the law is only one person needs to know that the conversation is being recorded, and it can be the person who's recording it.
Yes.
I don't understand how that protects anyone. Why, like, just say there are no rules to recording these conversations, and like, what does that actually accomplish? Because if I'm the victim here, how does it help me or protect me that you know you're hitting record on your phone right now?
Right. Well, there's another part too, which is they're in public, so there's no reasonable expectation of privacy. Even though you're having a private conversation, it's not like they're sitting in the in someone's living room and having this conversation. You are out.
Right.
But
you know what his problem was? Rael Entin, the guy who's Commander's VP of content?
Bad taste in women?
Well, no. The antenna should have been going off. If a woman keeps asking you multiple questions, that's usually a sign that something is off. Women want to talk. They don't want to listen. So if she's battering you with multiple questions, at some point you should have been like, wait a minute. What's going on here? You should be doing all the talking.
You want to know, it's funny. Pat, you're 100% right, by the way. But maybe he was just so happy that someone was asking about his job for once. Like, you know, maybe he was just kind of dying for a little companionship.
But I think if you do what you do for a football team, then you do get a lot of questions. Like, if you work for the Commanders that's and you right. were there with Dan Snyder, like, I think there's a genuine curiosity. I'll bet you that's why. Don't you think, like, somebody was fishing for Snyder stuff or Commander stuff?
Maybe. But like, you know, the VP of content, like if she's asking him questions like, hey, what does it like look like making a TikTok for the Commander's social channels? Not the one of the questions. Hey, how do the feelers play about LGBTQ issues?
Yeah, it's a little pointed. It doesn't feel like date conversation.
Did she say that?
Well, that's the question I don't think he offered it. I think she asked him. Like, she was asking him things about the players and about the team.
And how did this get set up? How does he get a match on Hinge? And like, how does this sting operation come to fruition? Like, hey, let's go on Hinge until we find the somebody that works for the Commanders, and let's go on a date and let's pepper them with these questions until we get dirt
and see what we get. So we're talking about a Commanders vice president who went on an internet date, a Hinge date. Didn't really know the woman. She's asking very pointed questions about the team. He gave her what seemed like honest answers from his side of it. And now that's being used against him, and he's in trouble. I have a theory about this, but go ahead.
Well, let me ask you, what's the difference between getting sort of not illegally taped, but recorded at a date, and then like John Gruden's emails, which he thought were private? I mean,
yeah, same. I think if John Gruden was not going up against the NFL, which has a very strong lobby in Washington and has a lot of influence, I bet John Gruden's winning this case. He actually was winning his case for up until very, very recently. Because I think, it's his private emails.
Right, that's true. But I think publicly he lost, like the public battle over this. Like, nobody's
like, he's not going to get hired
again. No one said like, oh man, those were private emails. Like, regardless of what
they
said,
was reprehensible.
Right, but yes. So that's my point. It's like, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter how they got the quotes. At the end of the day, in the court of public opinion, this guy said these things, and that's all the NFL has to think about.
Right, the damage is done. I mean, John Gruden's damage was way worse, in my opinion, than this. I mean, John Gruden was being overtly homophobic and racist. I don't think this guy was being racist. I don't think he was being homophobic. He was explaining that he thinks others are homophobic, never used a slur, nothing like that. I guess, like, so my theory on how this happened, right? I think that D.C. is kind of a scummy town, first and foremost.
You lived there for a while, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was there in college. I think people are snipers. I think it's opportunistic. I just think it's a different vibe there because of the politics. And I think that this woman was probably recording all of her dates. And she happened to land on this guy, got something that was newsworthy, and probably sold it to this media outlet. I don't think she was like, let me look for VPs who work in the NFL.
I think she works for the media outlet.
Yeah.
Or maybe by virtue of her selling something to them, now she technically works for them.
That makes me, you know, this might come off the wrong way. That makes me want to trust women less.
I know.
I'm supposed to go on dates now, and now I got to worry about being recorded for things that I said that technically aren't even wrong, that aren't even reprehensible. He might be calling fans a bunch of mouth breathers and high school educated alcoholics. I could see where people are getting mad about that.
Of course.
But spot the lie where he says Roger Goodell's a $50 million puppet.
Well, again, so I think that it's not that you just can't trust women. I feel like also women probably can't trust men now. And you could be, it's not just the women who are doing the recording. Men could be doing it too.
I think also I genuinely would not trust any woman who accepted a date from Pat Boyle. That's my general rule. Sorry, I don't take that personally. I'm just saying I've heard some of your dating stories and immediately I would be on edge.
How am I not supposed to take that personally?
You should.
Well, I'm just like, listen, if, you know.
And what are you talking about? What dating stories have you heard?
You said on the radio yesterday you can't have an STD if you don't get tested.
Yeah. Facts.
That was a joke.
Was it?
Most jokes have a lot of truth to it.
Uh-huh.
And you're right.
By the way, there's another thing about Pat Boyle's dating life. Well, this is not dating.
This is not dating.
This is something that's actually, you've got a serious decision to make, dude. And I don't know, I hope you are taking it very seriously.
Big nut guy. What's that about? What are you talking about?
You have an opportunity in front of you. I guess a lot of guys do, but you have a real opportunity in front of you to become a sperm donor.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you've got to take this decision.
Did you get screened and like you're good to go?
No, I have not gotten screened yet.
Okay, you know you have to like abstain from alcohol and drugs and all that stuff. I don't know if you're a drug and alcohol guy, but you have to abstain from all that stuff for a certain amount of time.
Like, just like a couple days leading up to...
No, he definitely did not know that, Maggie. When you say you know, the look on his face was not a look of knowledge.
A couple of days leading up to the donations or for like a several month period?
I think a couple weeks.
And I think you can't have any other activities too, right? You gotta like really cleanse and build up and stuff.
No, because I think they screen you for STDs probably before each donation. No,
definitely,
because you can, like you said, have sex and maybe catch something in a week period. Hey, I just donated. Now I'm going to donate another 2 weeks. I don't think they say, "Oh, we trust you."
No, they definitely don't trust you.
You probably get screened each time.
I would assume, yeah, definitely. I mean, this is like a. For Pat to become a sperm donor, this is serious business, man. I feel like you're kind of like, willy-nilly. You got to really think about, do you want to do this? Because there's some places where the offspring will get to contact you one time. I've heard this before. I've had a friend who went down the road on this a little bit. So one time someone could contact you, and you got to be ready to have that conversation. This is intense, man.
I ignore calls from friends on a daily basis. You think I got a problem with having to talk to a kid that's technically mine but isn't mine 15 years from now when I'm in my 40s?
Who's this?
Hey, you're my dad. Oh, that's unfortunate. Click.
You would owe it to this young person to have a conversation with them.
What do you want me to, what am I supposed to tell them?
Your family history, who you are, what you're about.
No, there's a lot of legal jargon. I assume there is no, you know, obligations on me to be a parent.
No, not a parent, just to be contacted.
By the way, you assume that Pat doesn't have little Pat Boyles running out there. That's your first mistake.
I did say on these airwaves, I would like a Genghis Khan thing.
Yes.
So like, I would like Pat Boyle Jr.'s running around just without the responsibility. This is kind of a win-win deal. And like Heath Ledger said as the Joker, if you're good at something, never do it for free. I need to start getting paid for these donations.
Are you sure you're good at it?
Let's not get into logistics and how this works, but probably.
Do you need a certain skill set for this? I don't think so.
But let me give you the whole story that he just alluded to, because this is morning show lore. The Boyle plan is to flood the market, so to speak, so that there's all of these kids out there, more kids, higher odds of one of them being athletically gifted, an actor, something that can turn around and fund the back half of Boyle's life.
Yeah, because I'm sure when the person you've been totally absent for the first, you know, formative years, they're going to be
shunning
rushing
their calls
to buy you Ferraris and mansions.
Or when you hang up on them.
Yeah.
What are they going to call you?
All right, so maybe I will readjust now. Maybe this is a very full bulletproof plan now. the donations, they call when they're 15. First question, hey, what kind of sports you playing?
Yeah, what's your ranking on 24/7?
Right, so they want to know about me. I'm going to flip it back on them. No. Kyle, how good are you? What's your... are you QB1 in high school right now? What are things looking like for you? Are you the backup for JV? It's all right. It was a good call. Sorry, I got to go.
I don't know how rigorous this company screens, but they should know the fact that you take penicillin preemptively.
I'm actually allergic to penicillin. That's like the only
that's
thing
not helping society. Yeah.
In the world that I'm allergic to.
And you know this. Let's pause on this for a second. Bogish, can we push the update? Because we need to get to these headlines. I blame myself. I got obsessed with this Washington Commander story. This guy got went on a date with a woman, got recorded talking about, you know, some delicate things with the organization, and is now in trouble for it. He had no idea he was getting recorded. This dude's just a patsy on a date, drinking a whiskey sour, trying to get lucky, and now all of a sudden he's in part of this massive
trying to vent for a minute.
Someone asked about his job. Finally, someone asked about how his day went. And now he's in trouble for it. But again, it's my fault. Now we're talking about Pat and his potential sperm donation. But I do want to get to the headlines. Will you hang with us for a second, Book?
No.
Welcome back. We're talking about this Washington Commander's vice president who got surreptitiously videotaped on a date. Didn't realize he was on a date. Didn't know he was getting videotaped. Said some very honest things about his team in the NFL, and now he's in trouble for it. And Perloff and Bogish and I were talking about the amount of open microphones that we happen to be around in this business and how many Leslie Nielsen moments you've had in your career, Pearl.
Well, no, I've heard Leslie. I've been in trucks a lot where you hear guys going to the bathroom. I probably had Leslie Nielsen moments. I didn't have the honor of hearing myself go to the bathroom, which would have been cool, actually, for some reason. But, I used to work on weekends at Stanford at NBC. And I love when you get the live feeds and you hear the announcers during the breaks explaining what's really happening in the game. That is one of my favorite things in this industry. I don't know, what do you call that period?
Hot mic.
I guess it's a hot mic. Yeah, but a hot mic during the breaks,
back
they
feeds.
Know they're on.
What's the back that? Feeds.
The back feeds.
The back feeds, yeah. Those are awesome. It's like you hear the producer talking to Ian Eagle, and Ian's like, yeah, I don't know if we should do this package now. Let's save it for the next break. I love that. I think they should. It's like NASCAR. Put it all out there. Mm. NASCAR, by the way, is amazing at that, because I heard a 20-minute conversation about diarrhea that was the other day. I don't know if you guys heard that over the weekend.
During the race, the guy was having problems, right?
Maybe the rest. Yes. He's like, yep, it's coming out both ends. Yeah. I was like, what? This is amazing. So I do think there is some value. Entertainment value, you'd have everything mic'd up.
Imagine.
Who was it? Was it Kyle Larson? It was a big racer.
Reddick, I think his last name might have been.
Yeah, that was wild. He's like, I'm going to try some crackers. been there. Did you do that in the break? I don't know why I know this story, but they got a lot of attention. So I think basically the lesson is we're always being recorded. There's just a fact.
But on a date, you think you can't tell somebody anything? No?
No, I'm with you. I understand the Commanders can't keep him around. Like, you hate football. Why do you work for a football team?
He's just
like,
complaining about work.
But, there should be a little more sympathy for him thinking that he's talking up a girl, and the whole time she's sitting there hoping to screw him over. I don't like it.
I don't like it either. Does anyone else think that if you ever do any of those rental things, I don't want to say the names of the companies, but you rent a house, rent a condo, that you're just getting recorded the whole time.
Yeah.
Anyway. Wow, but you guys also think that your phone is listening to you?
It is.
But no, what you don't understand is you're so easy to track by what you do on that phone that they can predict. They don't even need to listen to you. Just by their Google searches, they know everything about you.
But what if I didn't do a Google search? What if the first thing was me mentioning it?
There's just enough data out there that
I'm going to get a Pepto-Bismol ad in a second because you just mentioned diarrhea.
They know you.
No.
Let's get to the headlines.
Please. They're sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MNP to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
But no better feeling than being on a run in Prize Picks right now. This is so awesome. I cannot wait to make my pick for tonight.
I'm jealous.
It's all happening. I'll tell you one thing. Betting against Caitlin Clark, never going to happen again. She's a Joe Burrow of the WNBA. She's making me money here. So let's go Prize Picks.
Justin Herbert is not on the Chargers injury report to start week one. He says the foot that cost him 2+ weeks of training camp is now 100%. Not only did the Florida Gators take that beating from Miami Saturday, but QB Graham Mertz is in concussion protocol. So freshman DJ Lagway will start Saturday against Samford.
Thank God for Florida. Oh, my God. Grant Mertz. Oh, this is good. DJ Lagway. He's the truth. This is amazing news for a program that's awful. Anyway, sorry.
Fernando Tatis Jr. officially back for the Padres.
1-0 to Fernando. The pitch from Foley swung on, hit through the left side, and a base hit. Merrill rounding third on his way. Green's throws got no shot. And Fernando is back.
Yeah, that's what I said, Jesse Agler, Padres Radio. San Diego winning 6-5-10 after spotting the Tigers the first 5 runs of the night. This was Tatis's second game back after missing 2.5 months with a stress reaction in his right thigh. The win, the Dodgers' 10-1 loss in Anaheim, gets the Pods 4.5 games back in the NL West. They keep a half-game lead on the Diamondbacks for the top wild-card spot. Arizona winning in San Francisco 6-4. After losing, the Giants announced a 6-year, $151 million extension with third baseman Matt Chapman. It wipes out the final 2 years of his current deal and includes a full no-trade clause. And it continues to be one of the best U.S. Opens for American tennis in decades. Jessica Pegula took down top-seeded Iga Świątek last night 6-2, 6-4. Pegula reaching her first major semifinal on her 7th try.
I would like to say I'm so happy that you guys cannot ask me about making it to the semis. That was like, oh my gosh. It wasn't even a me thing. It was just more like people asking me. So I'm really happy to be through to the semifinals.
Pegula joins Emma Navarro, Frances Tiafoe, and Taylor Fritz in their respective Final Fours. This is the first U.S. Open since 2003. With 4 or more Americans reaching the semis, the women play again tonight. Navarro taking on second-seeded Aryna Sabalenka. Then it's Pegula and Carolina Muhova.
Pegula winning today. Lock. Book it.
Lock.
Lock.
Don't jinx her, Pat. This is important stuff.
I was watching Muhova's match yesterday. She's got something going on with her hip or her leg.
Yeah, she's definitely banged up. I love our chat, by the way. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. We affectionately refer to them as the Weedos and the coffee drinkers because they're crazy. Pine Needle says he uses Airbnbs all the time. Best investment ever, a hidden camera laser detector. If you don't have one, you need one. Never heard of this before. Just did a quick Google search. Yeah, now you can bring this to all your dates, Pat. A hidden camera.
He has the cameras.
Yeah.
Relax.
We're
borderline slandering me here.
I feel like Pat's place has some kind of like secret door. Anyway, a hidden camera
lens. You pull
a book
and the whole shelf turns.
Candle sconce. Now, probably just a bed without a bed frame. A hidden camera.
I have a bed frame.
A water bed, don't you?
Good for you, single guy with a bed frame. I'm proud of you, Pat.
Yeah, so you learned something new about me.
There you go.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.